This week on Art of the Year, our whole show features the 2026 For the Love of Art Fair, first with multi-subject photographer Jim Kalka. Next, progressive Americana musician Jake Michael will be both featured this year. Then our spotlights on the For the Love of Art Fair CEO and founder, Shireen Klein, discussing the exhibitors and musicians at South Bend Century Center on February 7th and 8th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. And is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. I'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight, and you've heard her for several years here, talking about For the Love of Art Fair, and of course that's coming up for 2 days only, February 7th and 8th, and it's South Bend Century Center, and the one and only CEO and runner and established the whole event is Shireen Klein. Welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, it's always so nice to see you.
And of course, you've been listening to Art in the Air. We've had quite a few of the artists on at various points in our show. So if you go back through our schedule, you can listen to some of them that are coming up this year. And of course, if you listen to past years, you can hear quite a few of the artists that are in there. But Shireen, tell us about what's happening this year at For the Love of Art Fair.
Well, as you mentioned, we have several returning artists, people who are sometimes our favorite artists, but we have a whole group of new artists as well. So it's a combination of new and favorite artists. We represent 8 different states this year. I'm excited about that. So one of the gentlemen that was part of our show last year, his daughter's in California. And so she's going to be coming in for the show. And then he will be participating as well.
Excellent.
So Shireen, how do you choose your honorary artist each year?
It has to be someone who has been very well established in the community, has just been a spotlight in the community. And that's why Dick Layman, he's been around forever. He started that the pottery tour. And honestly, we've never had a ceramic artist as our honorary artist. And I've always wanted to do other than a painter. So yeah, he agreed to it.
Well, his ceramics are just supreme, so good choice.
And we had him on for an interview, of course. So I'm going to go back in history. Tell us a little about the origins of For the Love of Art Fair, how you got the idea to do it this way. And I know you didn't always do it at the South Bend Center, but tell us a little about that whole history.
Well, it was really a vision that came from attending a very large event, Art Expo. And so I was doing all these outdoor shows, and you're dealing with rain and heat and high winds, and I just was inspired to take the show indoors because I visited Art Expo in Chicago.
Right. And so how many years has this been going on?
It would have been 13. It's 12 years this year.
12 years. But, of course, COVID threw a wrench in that, too. So
yes. So officially, we have been in South Bend for 9 years.
Okay.
Wow. So do you have room for more artists at this point, or are you all booked up?
We are all booked up. We had a cancellation, but I was able to get on the phone and call someone up and ask them to come back. And so Kent Epler will be returning this year. I think you have him as well as an interview.
Yeah, and, the big soft sculpture, right? Yeah.
Yes. His stuff is so fun. And so we're excited to have him back. But it's about, it's a great personality. It's like, I am connected with them. They connect with me. Because when you have that one-on-one with the artist, I know they're going to deliver at the show. So it's not always about coming and buying art. It's about the experience that you can have at For the Love Art Fair. You're going to get the one-on-one interaction. You're going to there's the music. It just all kinds of comes together. And I love the fact of seeing young families bring their children and the children are asking questions. And it's one-on-one. It's like being in a museum, but you get the chance to talk with the artist.
I know I think that's one of the big pluses of your show. And when we did an interview, we talked to someone. They said one of the things that really sells the art is not so much the art itself, though that has to be good, but it's actually interaction with the artist. That's the very important element there.
Yeah, everyone looks forward to the interaction. You know, when you attend a gallery or even our expo, the artists are being represented by the gallery owner. And so every single artist here has to represent themselves.
Right.
So what is the entry fee?
It's $10. And you get a chance to win prizes, too.
And you have music going on throughout the whole day. And so tell us about some of the musical guests that you have on the agenda for this year.
Well, we like to keep it simple. So we have Jake for Starheart, Jake Michael. He's been with us for a few years. We have Informo, Mike DeHaze on the cello. We have the Sand Rabbits, which everyone loves, this little band that on Sunday. And they play a variety of music that you probably listened to in the 60s and 70s, pretty much classic Americana music. And we have a newcomer who plays some jazzy music. His name is Annibal Fausta. He's from Buchanan, Michigan. And of course, everyone loves the classic guitarist, Marco Valerio.
Bill Real, yes. Good old Marco, yes. From Northwest Indiana, sure.
So he'll be returning on Saturday.
Excellent. Well, that's such a great lineup. And I know we had Marco on our show several times, and we had Informo on. We interviewed him last year and everything. And hopefully we're going to have Jake on. We got him scheduled at least for an interview and everything. So, yeah, there's some wonderful things. And you have a really good relationship with some of your sponsors. Your presenting sponsor, TJ21, we had him on for an interview also.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have our sponsors. And if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't be where we're at today. So we would like to, like I said, we are here to inspire, to educate, and ignite art in the lives of others. And through his testimony, we got him to like art. So we invite everyone to come out February 7th and 8th at the South Bend Century Center. It is $10 to get in. Saturday it goes from 10 to 5, and on Sunday it goes to 10 to 4. And if you get in free, you come on Saturday, you can come back on Sunday for free.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate coming back on Art in the Air and sharing your artists with us and our audience. For the Love of Art Fair, 2 days only, February 7th and 8th, South Bend Century Center. Shereen Klein is the runner of the entire thing and the CEO. Thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you two at the show as well.
Of course. Thank you so much, Shereen. It's terrific, for the Love of Art Fair.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. And Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge, so we may continue to bring you this great program.
Hi, this is Alan Harrison, author of Scene Change and Scene Change 2. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM. Enjoy and go to the arts.
We would like to welcome Jim Kalka to Art on the Air. Jim is a photographer who developed his eye from travels with his uncle Gene and talking and sharing photos with his other uncle Bob, who was a published photographer. He started his own gallery with Vincent Daniels in Mishawaka, Indiana. Jim will be showing his work at the Shireen Klein's For the Love of Art Festival on February 7th and 8th in South Bend, Indiana. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Jim. It's very nice meeting you.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Well, Jim, how our audience always likes to know about our guests is their origin story. And how I set that up is how you got from where you were to where you're now. So tell us all about Jim.
Well, I grew up in South Bend, Indiana. We lived around, let's say, Erskine Boulevard. You know, you can always remember all the phone numbers and addresses where you when you were little very well. The older we get, start to forget stuff. But no, I grew up there till about the age of 12, and then we moved to Mishawaka, Indiana, where I went to Elm Road School and then on to Grissom Middle School, then on to Penn High School. So that's kind of my younger, my life.
So did they have a photography program in any of in high school?
No, my photography program was every family function. My Uncle Gene, they had a, he was a big portrait and senior, like he did a lot of senior pictures for Mishawaka and some of the other people, and a big wedding photographer here in Mishawaka. So I was always around it. Every function we went to, he'd be taking the pictures. And
were you assisting or just?
No, I had an interest in it, but no, I would always watch him. And you know, he would talk about this shot or this, you know, he was a very technical guy. So he caught my eye early when I was, you know, younger.
But did that develop as you went on, like through high school, teenage years, or did you pursue other interests? I mean, we've had guests on the show that like say, oh, I'm a steel worker. And then I didn't start doing my art toys. Tell us about your photography journey.
Well, after high school, I was injured in a football accident in Penn High School. And so I had to decide what I wanted to do. Well, I met a gentleman by the name of Zig Ziglar at a very young age. He was a motivational speaker and got back from the seminar. And my dad was a fire restoration contractor in South Bend. And he said, hey, why don't you come work for me? So I went to go work for him. And then 5 years later, we became public adjusters, where we represent consumers versus insurance companies, so make sure people get a good settlement on if you had a house fire, hurricane, you know, like in Florida. But during that time, my uncle moved from Mishawaka to Arizona. And he called me one day and said, hey, I got to do a photo shoot for Arizona Highway Magazine. Why don't you come along with me? So in my mid-20s, late-20s, I took a trip out there and it kind of began there. You know, he picked me up at the airport. Went up to Monument Valley, spent a couple days, had to go to Sedona, Oak Creek Canyon, and up to the Grand Canyon. And I really got the bug around that trip there. So I used to go with them quite a bit, you know, at least one time a year.
Yeah, those visuals are magnificent. I can see how they were inspiring to you.
Oh, just beautiful.
I know I took my wife out west several years ago, and she does photography also, and she was amazed by the Red Rocks. We were mostly in the Colorado, Utah area, to the point that she filled up her memory card. And of course, my camera shoot with a CF card. And fortunately, I had in one of my little backup cameras an SD card to give her. I mean, she just kept shooting all the way in, you know, out the car window and everything. She was just amazed by it. So it is a very striking thing. So after your Arizona trip, did you start picking up equipment or how did that develop?
No, I started to buy some, you know, everybody's kind of snobby when it comes to their camera equipment. You know, they had film back then. My other uncle lived in Naples, Italy, and he was a big Nikon guy, and my uncle was a big Canon guy. So, you know, you almost wanted to cover the name of your camera because they would always say, well, this one does this better, this one does this better. And it wasn't digital yet back in those days. So we went from film to, I think I bought him his first digital camera, my Uncle Gene, when we were on a trip. And it was like a little kid, like, boy, I don't have to wait a week to get my photos back. I can see it's like a Christmas present. I can see it now, you know. Yeah. So kind of started on that first trip with him. But
So no, did you take a camera with you on that first trip? What camera was it?
Oh, it was, I think I was shooting Canon, one of the first models, and I didn't really understand megapixels and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that, you know, versus around the technical guy like my Uncle Jane. He taught at IUSB in his spare time and was a speaker, and he always talked about you got to chase the light. And, you know, I really didn't know what that meant back then. You know, lighting, you know, during the middle of the day, it's not, you know, the best. It's more favorable early in the morning and late in the day. So he's kind of started to educate me on the times to go. And, you know, at night, you go to the beach, there's a million dogs and people on the beach, and you got to take, you have a hard time because they're in their sunset pictures. If you go early in the morning at sunrise, Larry's laughing, I can hear him. There's nobody even up.
Right.
You know, you have to worry about that stuff. So he started to teach me about scouting the area, you know, which direction the sun enhances your photos. And but I had grown into getting up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, for like 40 years now. I just get up early. And, you know, that's part of the reason.
Yeah, getting that early morning. Well, you know, there's mornings and evenings are similar because you both get the golden light. Mornings tend to be a lot of times misty, which is a great effect. And, of course, the evening tends to be much clearer. So depending on, you know, the circumstances. But, yeah, you're right. They're similar because you get that low angle, quote, golden light effect as opposed to the midday harsh light that comes down. Unless sometimes midday shots are good if it's partially cloudy and it acts as a diffuser. Then sometimes you get some good midday shots.
I said, what do you take him so long for? He'd walk, you know, we were at the Superstitious Mountains. And it was early in the morning, and he kept walking up there and walking back to the left, walking back to the right. I said, it's like 10 minutes, and I'm just snapping him off, you know. We had tripods, and he says, no, you got to frame the picture. You know, you got to, the light comes this way. It's on this part of the cactus here and the reflection on the water and the, you know, the backside of the mountain. So there's a lot that goes into it, you know, to paint that picture and then take the picture. But no, he was very technical. And he says, always get people's, all their fingers and toes in the picture.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't think like that. You know, a lot of people just take the pictures and don't realize you got to be looking at who's blinking or who's not looking at you and make sure all their feet. You know, it was an educational process for me, but that's where I started it. And then I got the bug. I mean, it was bad.
Right.
You know, then I wanted to get the next camera.
Which was?
I was a Nikon for a while, and then I switched to Canon, and now I shoot with, you know, Sony. So, no, I'm embarrassed to tell how much some of these lenses cost. You know, it's just incredible.
Oh, I know. Well, that's one nice thing sometimes is you can pick up one of those high-quality lenses in the used market that are actually decent. And of course, I picked up a bunch of, I'm still shooting, you know, with my Canon mirrored cameras. And so when people switched over to the mirrorless, there were a whole bunch of lenses that appeared on the market that are in great shape, excellent and no usage and low usage, and you can pick them up. So yeah, sometimes you can do some shopping like that for whatever it is. So you went to Sony. Let's talk a little bit about equipment because we do have photographers that listen to this. Why was the final choice Sony? I know I have understand it because Sony is such a big corporation, but what moved you to the Sony? Because then you have to buy all new glass for it.
I was just sold on, like, there's a local store, Gene's Camera Store in South Bend area, and they had their Sony guy there. You know, they have a Canon guy and an Nikon guy, and boy, he just sold me really good and told, you know, this A1 or A7, it's about around 50 megapixels, shoots 30 frames a second, because I like to shoot fast-moving objects like birds and, you know, the little dot. Once you connect with their eye, you know, it's 30 frames, and, you know, one of those shots are going to be pretty good. So I started with that camera, and then, you know, the bottom of it, I needed the, oh, you know, little extender. So when I was doing verticals, I could tap the button up here. So, you know, that was another three, four, you know, how $300, $400. And No, but a lot of people don't use the native glass with the camera, you know, so I always stuck with Sony lenses to get the best results. So I, you know, there's a lot of good cameras out there. I've just, you know, and then you get into the video and with the Sony camera, it's very high quality. So, you know, it's, you get into these guys, start making a different camera for sports, you know, for landscape, you know how it goes. It's crazy. But once you're in it, you're in it, and you know you can't really switch because the lenses are just incredibly expensive. So I'm stuck with Sony for a while.
So Jim, are you primarily focused on nature and maybe travel rather than people portraits? Because you did mention that, you know, in that evening, all those people and dogs are in the way.
Well. I would say when I was in my mid-30s to 40s, early 40s, I had an office space that I turned into a studio. So I had all the backdrops, the big lights, you know, all the light meters. And, you know, people don't, if they don't like a picture, you know, you got to give them what they want. You know, you might think it's good, I might think it's good, but you know, it, and then the little kids they bring in, you know, I love to do it, but there's a lot of moving parts there, you know.
It's so true.
I'd rather be outside doing the nature stuff, landscape stuff, and it complements my other business when I'm traveling. I can just, you know, on my off time, just come over here and take some pictures.
So where were you when you shot the horses with your camera?
Well, some of those are out in Scottsdale. So I was out there for a funeral, and in between we had a day that was open, and my cousin there, I have a family full of really good photographers, but you know, they have home field advantage. You got the Milky Way at night, you got the water, and you know, you got to be careful too when you're out there. And the day I picked, it was the high was supposed to be 117. Wow. And my cousin said, listen, we should probably bring some water, but do you want to wear the shin guards for snakes? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I said, I don't plan on seeing any snakes today, you know. And he tried them on. He says, nah, these are kind of too bulky, so we didn't bring them. And I said, well, how far is this thing? He said, well, about 2 hours. I said, what? It was 1:04 in the morning. You know, it was just getting light. And I'm going 2 hours in. I said, well, will we see the horses? He says, maybe. I said, then 2 hours back. And if, you know, that's 4 hours of walking and then another hour. So we got in there. It was a pretty long walk. And so we saw them. So it was way back, I think it was around Apache Junction. And so we got some good shots, but they weren't running in the water yet. Toward the end of the, like now, they lower the river. And, you know, when someone sends you pictures of, you know, their shots, you know, a foot deep and the horse, you know, the water spraying across 8 horses running down the river, you know, it drives you crazy because you got to go back out there. Well, I couldn't go in the last month. So, but anyways, coming back, we're walking and I had my cousin Mike on my right. You know, obviously if I'm going to get bit, it's not going to be me because I'm always in the middle. That was my strategy. So he started to yell. He says, hey, look over. And it was a pretty big rattlesnake coiled up, ready to strike. And it was within probably 3 to 4 feet of him. And I was like break dancing when I saw that, because I was just beat walking back and I saw that steak and I came alive. And I said, how much further? He says, about 45 minutes. So I said, what would happen? He says, well, it could have been a dry bite. I says, yeah, but our phones don't work. We wouldn't be able to call 911. You know what I mean? So you got to watch it. You know, I mean, he could have bit him easily. But Well, you got mountain lions, you got cougars, you got, you know, I'm the one going on the internet looking to eat you at night or during the day. And there's a lot of stuff out. You got to be on your game. You got to watch.
Yeah, because shin guards won't help with that cougar.
No. No, but so that's where it got the horses at. And the Milky Ways, you know, the moon, it'll, you can't go out when the moon's out just because the it'll kind of shadow out the Milky Way. But no, there's a lot of places we go out there. And I got some of the horses here through Napanee, Goshen, Middlebury, Topeka. Topeka's a good spot. But, you know, like I tell everybody, the beauty's in front of you. It's right here. That's why you, when you have a camera, you start paying attention. If you notice all these camera guys, what are you looking at? I see the water reflection out there, you know, and they're trying to get out of the house, you know, and catch the sunset, you know, why the, or a cardinal flew by. So, no, the camera photographers I know are really interesting characters.
They are. Well, you know, and I found in there are sometimes real photographers, and there's sometimes what I call equipment photographers, who they get all the equipment. They love talking, well, you know, I got this. And it's like, but what do you do with that? Because really, in the end, the camera is a tool to make your images. And it's like, you know, so I've met the other kind of equipment photographers who love their equipment, but aren't necessarily taking much in the way of photos.
I'm going to just a 30-second story here. So we were up in the Grand Canyon. It's about 6:10 in the morning. I'm driving. My uncle yells out, "Wow." I says, "What?" He says, "Pull over." I says, "For what?" "Stop, let me get out." So he got out. You could see the dew on the grass. You're at the flat part of the, you know, when you're getting up to it, like that last mile before you go in. And I see him walk into the field, and he lays down. I mean, it's wet. I mean, wet. But he puts his camera down and puts something under it to get it in a pretty good, stable position. And he goes, he always was known for going, "Wow." Went, "Wow." I said, come here. So I went over there. He says, "Get down here." So now I'm wet. And he's looking through there. He goes, "Jimmy, the dandelion looks like it's on fire." It was a little dandelion. And that photo made it on, I don't remember what magazine or what calendar, but it was a pretty big deal. And, you know, you don't forget stuff like that. But he could see that from when we were driving the sun, and he was eyeballing the wild, you know, dandelions out there. And it was a good moment.
How old were you?
Probably around 30.
Oh, wow.
One more time we had to go. It was between Monument Valley and Oak Creek Canyon. We hired an Indian guy named Jimmy, and Jimmy had this old white Bronco, O.J. Simpson looking vehicle. And he took us to this one spot, and my uncle, he had a bad eye, okay, from an accident, but he was an eagle eye. He was a really sharp photographer. And I said, "Now look, Aunt Diane is going to get mad at me because we always push it when we go. Like he gets real brave." Well, this cliff we were looking over, I mean, it went down. There was no fence, no railing, and he was up on this big boulder, and he yelled, and he fell, and right before he rolled, I grabbed him by the back of his belt and got him.
Wow.
And he turns around, he goes, "Don't tell Aunt Diane." So we got back. What's the first thing he did? "Hey, Diane, we almost lost me today. Jimmy saved me today." You know, and every time I came out there, she would go, "Oh, they're together again." So it was, we had some adventures. It was really fun.
Your family.
Right. I've seen your work, and I kind of classify you kind of like in the photography category. I do kind of a generalist. You shoot a lot of different types of things. But is there a subject that you would like to shoot that you haven't done yet?
I used to go to Maui like 2 times a year for like 4 years in a row. I was really fortunate. And one of them was the 20-year pipeline classic. And my business partner and I said, you know, why don't we splurge? If you ever watched the movie Blue Crush, it was the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when she's sitting out there looking back, we were like from the famous surfing booth, you know, that they put on the beach. Count 8 houses to the right. That's the one we stayed in. I mean, it was so loud at night from the waves, we couldn't sleep. It just drove us nuts. But these surfers, I mean, the waves were like 30 feet high. And, you know, for anybody that's never been on the North Shore, the pipeline, it's like a 5 to 7 mile stretch. It's heaven on earth. I mean, there's no place like it. And, you know, it's all these people, you know, they're broadcasting there. But, you know, you walk in off the shore, it's like up to your chest, like 5 yards out. But that water in there is about, probably 10 to 20 feet. So that's why when surfers fall, they get worried because they hit their head. You know, they can drown. But the excitement, I went on the back of a jet ski. I rented the guy let me hire him for like an hour. And I had a house fire, lost all my photos when it burned from that event. I was on the back shooting from the side. You know, you could see him from the side. I would want to do that again. And then there's a gentleman named Clark Little that in Waikiki Beach, Honolulu area, if you Google Clark Little photos, he's the guy that came in and would walk offshore and take pictures of the wave on the inside. Good Morning America picked it up about 8 years ago, and he's like the top guy in the world. But I'd like to do that, but you got to be careful because you'll be in 3 feet of water with a 10-foot, 15-foot wave coming. And he shoots with a fisheye lens at 20 frames a second. And, you know, early in the morning, the sun catches the tube of the wave, and they're posted all over the world, these photos. It's unbelievable. I would want to try that.
Sounds great. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up here, but we want to give you a chance to tell what your website is and anything coming up after For the Love of Art Fair, any exhibits or other things.
You can go to my website. It's jimkalka.com, and I will be posting another section where if anybody's interested in ever buying a photo, you know, canvas, regular paper. I do a lot of water prints, water paper, where it looks like it. I like the picture to look like a piece of art, like a painted picture sometimes, and there's a little technique to that. But now there'll be a website or part of the website where you can buy stuff. The Love of the Art Fair coming up February 7th. This is my fourth year. It's a great place. You know, I have another career, but you know, this one is taking off. But you meet a lot of neat people there,
right?
And we get them back to the gallery here to our functions. And but I highly recommend people getting out there and taking a look. They got the best of the best artists out there.
Sounds great. Well, our guest today was Jim Galka. You can see him at For the Love Art Fair on February 7th and 8th at the South Bend Century Center. And, of course, along with a bunch of other artists. Jim, thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air and sharing your arts and photography journey.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Art in the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
Hey everybody, this is Carolyn with New Blue, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are happy to welcome Jake Michael to Art on the Air. Jake is a singer-songwriter, and he and his sister Jess Lucille have the band Starheart. He also performs solo across the region. He will be performing at Shireen Klein's For the Love of Art Festival in South Bend, Indiana on February 7th at the Century Center. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Jake. It's really wonderful seeing you again.
And thank you for having me.
Well, Jake, we always like to our guests to kind of talk about their background story. I call their origin story. Tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Jake.
Yeah, right. I was born in Elkhart, Indiana, but my parents and I shortly moved to South Bend. And I consider myself born and raised in South Bend. I had been our family's very musical since I came along and way before that. And so I have four siblings. My sister Jess, who I play in the band Star Heart with, is 4 years younger. But as we were all growing up, my mom was doing a lot of musical things. We had she was in a show choir out of Bremen. She was a musical theater and theater shows at what's called the Patel Center. It's in Mishawaka, Indiana. And she was putting us on stage, which was great. And I was also, when I was in grade school and wanting to try everything, like I wanted to do piano lessons. And I did that, I think it was like fifth or sixth grade. And also, like everything I tried, I also wanted to quit after a couple months. But my mom was like, no, let's, I think you're acclimating well to this. Of course, she loves music, and she was like, why don't you stick with it? And so that was, I'm so grateful for her for doing that, because through force, I was able to learn some music theory and piano. And then when I started getting into my parents' vinyl record collections and started listening to James Taylor and Simon and Garfunkel and Joan Baez and Judy Collins and Joni Mitchell, I realized after I had that base in music theory on pretty much beginner piano, I was able to transfer what I knew onto guitar. And going into high school, I went to Marion High School here. It's in Mishawaka, Indiana, but Mishawaka and South Bend are right next to each other. I started playing guitar all the time and started playing music. Simultaneously, I was also still doing theater, musical theater. And that's what that was my thing in high school. And then I went to Chicago and studied musical theater at Columbia College Chicago, out of high school. So I went to theater school in Chicago, and I was doing theater in Chicago. When you graduate from Columbia College, as the same as you graduate from other art schools, the discipline that you're in, if it's like, for me, it was acting. They had like a showcase, when we graduated. So we had, a bunch of like talent scouts or agents or producers at the showcase. And my favorite job was I got a gig being in the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2004 Athens Olympics, just as like a performer in those. That was a year and a half, actually, after I graduated. But through that job, I just went to Greece and kicked around for about a year, knowing I had a 3-month contract at the end of it to be in the Olympics. So that was my favorite musical experience in my life, coming out in the opening ceremonies in front of like 80,000 people and doing our thing. Yeah, it was surreal. And I also knew it at the time. Like, I was really trying to be in the moment there. It's probably the most in the moment I've ever been in my entire life, because I knew how special that was. And I came back to Chicago after a couple of years in Greece, did theater in Chicago. I wasn't doing a lot of singing, songwriting, guitar stuff. Then I took a job in Kansas City, actually in the suburb of Kansas City, at what is called the Jewish Community Center, but they had a theater there called the White Theater. And so I took like a repertory job there, and it was awesome. I would do 3 or 4 musicals a year. And they were like, you're going to have a pretty good part in one of them, and the other ones you're going to be supporting background things. And that was, it was incredible. Simultaneously, I took a day job, let's say, quote unquote, being a teacher. So I taught elementary school special needs children. That was the most fulfilling job I've ever had in my entire life. And
wait, was that in Kansas or?
Yeah. It was actually in a suburb called Olathe. Yes, which is the suburb of Kansas City in Kansas. And I just found out, which is really cool, that the Kansas City Chiefs are moving their headquarters to Olathe. So I know all the children that I used to teach and the neighborhoods that I taught in are going to be very well served by having essentially actually an NFL major team in their tax, you know, where they live, so they can get a lot of money. So that really heartens me to hear that. That was at the beginning of the aughts. I just finished getting my master's degree in early childhood education. My father called me. He had been, and still is, running a company out of Elkhart, Indiana, that he needed help with. He never asked me that before growing up and as I became an adult. But my mother, who also was a big part of the business, had gotten cancer. And she had received a terminal diagnosis. So it was, it all kind of came together. I early retired from teaching those children to then moving back to South Bend. So I moved back to South Bend more than, and it was about 2012. And that my mother passed away in 2017. So I had this 5 years with her. I was back with closer to my siblings who were having children. So I was getting to be with they're all boys, so my nephews. And my sister, who had been here the whole time, my sister Jess, who I've been in the band with, she had a bunch of music that she had written, original music. I had a bunch of music that I'd written. We've never written together. We probably really haven't written together at all. But I was like, wow, we have a lot of original stuff. Let's start a band. And then we just found the name Starheart and started playing around the South Bend area as a duo. We got incredibly lucky in meeting two producers named Trey Gray, Mike Kyle. Trey grew up in South Bend. He's a little bit older than me with the Penn High School, but he has been for the past 20 or so years, the drummer for Brooks and Dunn. And so he was semi-retiring from that outfit and splitting some time, coming back home, taking care of some family. And he was like, I'd love to produce you guys. And so he did. He produced two albums that we made that I think are really good. And my sister and I play around town and around the region about 5 or 6 times a year. My sister doesn't do it. And then I play myself solo about 4 or 5 times a month. And again, I live in South Bend, Indiana. I'm near downtown. I'm right next to where For the Love of the Art Fair is, which is an art fair I'm playing February 7th. So I've been doing that for a handful of years. And that's, again, right downtown. So I feel so fortunate and blessed that where I live, I get to play at about 5 or 6 venues that are literally within 2 miles of where I live. And so... Mm-hmm. I don't know how, I think you guys have a couple people on that are from South Bend or from the immediate surrounding area. But since I moved back, and I'm not saying that correlates with me moving back, but it seems that there's a pretty vibrant community of musicians, and there's a lot of places, venues, restaurants, bars, pubs to play. Again, right in downtown South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart, these cities that are right next to each other in what is north central Indiana, so a little farther east of where you guys are. And I've been doing that since I moved back. I got away from musical theater, which is kind of a little, I missed that. But I just don't have enough time to do that. And I also started teaching music again this year at the Croc Center, which is a community center, again, right near where I live. So I feel very blessed and fortunate to be a part of the city, a part of the region, and being able to play music all the time. I love the community. I love the venues I play. And I also want to mention, and it's just doing some plugs here, that I host open mic at Fiddler's Hearth, which is an Irish-Scottish pub in downtown South Bend. They have an awesome open mic. When I moved back in 2012, 2013, someone directed me there because it didn't exist as Fiddler's Hearth when I left and also in the late 90s. But what's special, I think, about Fiddler's Hearth, and also it integrates with me teaching a lot of students at the Croc Center, is that it's a family pub in that I love bringing kids. Some of them are still in grade school, some in high school, up on that stage to have them perform at the pub because it's a family-friendly place. And that's something that I didn't have when I was their age, was the gaining experience being on a stage at a bar or at a just being on stage in a smaller atmosphere a very communal atmosphere where you're just playing in front of people who are there to hear people play. And so all that comes together.
Mishawaka and Elkhart, it's such a art-laden region.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants, mm-hmm. wonderful museums.
Yep. And this is not to mention, and I should mention it, is that we're only 20 minutes away from the Southwestern Michigan Wine Trail. So everything up and around there, especially in the summer, as the weather gets better, there's dozens of wineries, breweries, distilleries that also I just incorporate live music. Like, it's just part of the fabric of the atmosphere in those places. So being a part of it.
Jake, one thing we want to do is be able to actually sample one of your songs, Captain. Tell us very briefly about it, and then let's take a listen to it.
Yeah, Captain is on our second album called Revenge of Beauty, and it's just a little quaint little piece that I wrote and my sister backed me up on. It was before I was married to my wife and I was single, and I was just envisioning myself writing like a profile on a dating website, and that's what it is.
Okay, let's listen to Captain Jake Michael, and backed up by his sister, Jess Lucille, and you're listening to it right here on Art on the Air.
I can take a slow ride. If you need me in the morning, I can be your captor, or I can be your savior. Somewhere in the moonlight, I can be a hero, 'cause I didn't know I could be so brave. Share your shadows. You can come and rest now. I'll defend you in your battles, and the two of us will win. And if we win together, you would be my hero, 'cause I know it will. Shadows, you can come and rest now. I'll defend you in your battles, and the two of us will win. And if we win together, you will be my hero, 'cause I know it will. Whatever troubles we be in.
And that was Captain with Jake Michael, and he performs as Starheart with his sister Jess Lucille. And you're listening to Art in the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
You know, it's so interesting with your music, no matter how sad or emotional the lyrics might be, your harmonies just don't, you know, they contradict that almost. I mean, it's just so beautiful to listen to you. I mean, and it's probably not, you almost, you hear the lyrics, but you don't. You're just listening to this beautiful sound you two are making.
Yes, and that's a great way. Thanks for describing it that way. That's just reflective of how my sister and I grew up and the kind of music that I like specifically, which is, I guess, outward-facing sad music, but it's so gorgeous. Sometimes music is so gorgeous to me that the it's just like you just cry, or you just feel this kind of emotion that out of context would be like, well, that's sad.
Right. It transcends the lyrics, really.
Yep. Yeah. And we were our biggest influencers. My sister and I, again, growing up in the mid-90s, was the Indigo Girls, still is. And it's that they had that just harmonious, like that blending like tone. We didn't know anything else, right? I mean, like that was our favorite thing to do, and it still is our favorite thing to do. Again, I sad music makes me happy, which is weird to say.
Well, we want to give a chance to do another song. Tell us about Lee Lee.
Yeah, so then I said how Captain was for me writing about when I was single and trying to do an advertisement on a social website, like a dating app. Oh, Lee Lee is pretty nakedly about my wife, who I met when I moved back, actually, after when my father asked me to move back to South Bend. So I come back to South Bend. And I also was blessed to meet my wife. And it's pretty simplistic in, I think, what it's conveying, in that you're realizing what you have when it's not there. Now, her not being there was temporary, but that I was like, wow, every time she leaves, if she's gone for extended period of time, it just like solidifies how much I don't want her to do that and how much I want her to be around. So that's simply what it's about.
Let's take a listen to it. This is Lee Lee with Jake Michael and backed up by his sister, Jess Lucille.
Every time you're gone, I miss you more. So here's a song that make you forget all of your pain. Sometimes always never enough, but once you've lit my shadows up, there's nowhere to hide. I'll follow you away for me. I'll stay. All of your pain.
And that was Lee Lee with Jake Michael, our guest today on Art on the Air. Well, quickly, tell us about how people can find out your music, like online or connect with you.
Yep.
And of course, you'll be at the For the Love Art Fair on February 7th. But really quickly, tell us about that.
Yeah. So just any look, search Star Heart, South Bend maybe would help that get there faster. And we have two albums, full length albums, full band albums, and all original music streaming on all the streamers. So you could go to Facebook is probably our main presence online and find links to all of our music there. Search Star Heart on Facebook.
Well, I appreciate you coming on Art on the Air and sharing your music with us. Jake Michael, also Star Heart with his sister, Jess Lucille. And he'll be at the For the Love Art Fair on February 7th. You can hear him live there. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing not only your arts and music journey, but your music with us.
I really appreciate it. I love what you guys do. Thank you so much for doing it.
Yeah, thank you for all the gorgeous music.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart.